Father, I just pray this morning that you would anoint us to receive your word this morning, and that, Holy Spirit, you would guide me and that you would lead me, and that you would open the hearts of all of us today that we might receive your word that I believe you have given us. I praise you and thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, My topic today is the righteousness of faith. My scripture is Genesis 15:6. But I'd like to read Genesis 15:1-6. And Val did a very good job on that. I could probably just sit down and everything will be cool. Anyhow, the word of God says that after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "Behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell all the stars if you are able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall your seed be." And Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. One of the most important scriptures in the Bible is Genesis 15:1-6. It is here in the scriptures that God first demonstrates righteousness through faith. So this righteousness through faith that we are speaking about today is really not something new. It is something that has taken place many, many years ago when God called Abraham. But I'd like to ask you a question. So why is it that the Gentiles, which means those that are not of Jewish ancestry, why is it that the Gentiles and only few of the Jews attain to this righteousness given by God, this righteousness that is by faith? Well, Romans 9:30-33 tells us, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness that is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness." Two people, Jews and Gentiles. One receive the law that was from the law that is of righteousness by faith, which is the Gentiles. But the Jews didn't. Amazing. And it was for the Jews that God called Abraham. It was for the Jewish people that Jesus came. But the Bible says only the election that is by faith of Jesus Christ have attained to the righteousness that is by faith. That's kind of scary. That's kind of serious when you think about it. But when we look into our world today, we see the same thing. We see that there's only a remnant that has been made righteous by faith in Christ. And the rest of the world is lost. The rest of the world lies under God's judgment. The rest of the world is condemned. Why is that? The word of God goes off so also to say, wherefore? Why? It was because they sought it not by faith. But as it were, they sought it by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. The scripture says that this stumbling stone and this rock offense is a person. It says, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Who is the scripture referencing? The scripture is referencing Jesus. That whoever puts their trust and faith in him will never be ashamed. Romans 8:1 says, therefore now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But there is coming a day, if Jesus offends you, there's coming a day that if he causes you to stumble, there's coming a day when many, many, millions upon millions will be ashamed. The Bible says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many will go that way. The Bible says that narrow is the way to life, and only few would find it. Hell is no joke. It's a place of torment. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of pain. It's a place of sorrow. that is forever. But God made it so easy in all of his wisdom for each and every one of us, both Jews and Gentiles, to not go there. The message is, place your faith in whom God has given us. Amen. What a wonderful joy it is for us who have chosen the way of righteousness that is by grace through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there is no condemnation to us, and that we will not stand before him ashamed, but that we will stand before him with confidence and joy. Amen. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified or made righteous by the works of the law, by keeping law, by following law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified or made righteous by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be saved. Amen. So we here see or are confronted with two types of righteousness that the Bible speaks about. It is the righteousness of faith, and it's the righteousness of the law. The righteousness of faith is God's righteousness that it comes by promise through Jesus Christ, the promised seed that God gave Abraham. The righteousness of the law is self-righteousness that comes by working, to keep the law through self-effort. The righteousness of faith is connected to grace. The righteousness of the law is connected to self-effort. The righteousness of faith is connected to Abel's sacrifice, that which God had provided, a lamb. The righteousness of the law is connected to Cain's sacrifice, what he provided through his own self-effort. One was accepted and one was not. Just like Ishmael and Isaac, one was accepted and one was not. The righteousness of faith is God's way. The righteousness of the law is man's way. Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh or the sin nature, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Like there is two types of righteousness, there's also two types of laws. There is the law of sin and death. And there is the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:2. How does these laws work? Well, we know, you know, I come from an aviation background. So when I went into the Army, they had to teach us fundamentals and basic principles about flight characteristics and theories. And one of the first laws that we learned was the law of relativity. That according to Bernoulli's principle, to every reaction, there is an equal and opposite reaction. It's like when you're driving your car down the road and you stick your hand out the window. If you put your hand up, the wind blows your hand up. You put your hand down, the wind blows your hand down. Well, there are spiritual laws that govern us. And one of the laws is the law of sin and death. How does the law of sin and death work? Any place in your life where Jesus and the cross is not the center, the Alpha and the Omega will in some fashion or in some way drive you into some kind of law-keeping that will produce a yoke of bondage that leads to defeat, sin, and death. And how does the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus work? It works when Jesus and the cross is not. It works when the cross of Jesus and Jesus is the center, the Alpha and Omega of your life, and only the center, the Alpha and Omega of your life. For it's only through the boundaries and the framework of Jesus and the cross that the Holy Spirit will produce freedom from the yoke of bondage that produces sin and death. Let me say that again. For it's only through the boundaries and the framework of Jesus and the cross that the Holy Spirit will produce freedom from the yoke of bondage that produces sin and death. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now let's consider the possibilities of what it would look like or mean if Jesus and the cross is not considered the framework of our life. Would it look like or mean that we would substitute Jesus and the cross for the moral law, the ceremonial laws, the sanitation laws, or the sacrificial laws? Would it look like or mean that we would substitute Jesus and the cross for self-effort? Would it look like or mean that we would substitute Jesus and the cross for rules and regulation that comes through the wisdom of man and the philosophies of man? Would it look like or mean that we would substitute Jesus and the cross for church protocols that is not centered only on Jesus and him crucified, buried, raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven? Would it look like or mean that we would substitute Jesus and the cross for a 12-step program? Would it look like or mean that we would substitute Jesus and the cross for a 40-day plan? Would it look like or mean that we would substitute Jesus and the cross to place our trust in scientific study of the human mind in order to alter or modify human behavior? We don't have a choice. The message is clear. The Godhead has given us only one way to victory, and that is Jesus Christ and the cross. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Not Jesus and the law. Not Jesus and self-effort. Not Jesus with rules and regulations. Not Jesus and the wisdom of man. Not Jesus and the philosophies of this world. Not Jesus in church protocol, where Jesus and the cross is not the center, Alpha and Omega of our lives. Not Jesus and a 12-step program. Not Jesus and a 40-day plan. And not Jesus and human reasoning to modify or alter our behavior. Jesus and the cross is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. It's the only thing that removes sin. It is the only thing that can deliver us from bondage. It is the only thing that can raise us up from the dead. There is nothing that can transform us and change us into the very image of Christ except faith in Christ and the cross alone. There is only one way, and that is Jesus and the cross. There is only one way, and that's Jesus and the cross. There is only one way, and that's Jesus and the cross. Acts 10, 12 to 14 tells us that it's through Jesus alone, who was rejected, crucified, and raised from the dead, that we are made whole, and that there is no salvation in anything else other than Jesus and the cross. Acts 10, 12 to 14 says, "Be it known unto you all, and unto all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him do this man stand before you whole. This is the stone that was rejected by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." No other name, church. No other rule, no other program. So stay clear and remain free from everything that has nothing to do with Jesus and the cross. For the end of those things is bondage, sin, and death. Romans 8:3 says, I'm going to speed it up because I probably only got like about maybe 10 minutes more and I have a whole bunch to go. Romans 8:3 says that the law, what the law could not do. What is it that the law could not do? The law could never bring about righteousness through law keeping. The law shows us that we have a sin nature called the flesh. And when that sin nature is confronted with the holiness and perfection of God's law, it produces in us sinful passions and evil desires. So we see that the law was weak through the sin nature or the flesh, and that the righteousness through law keeping, it could never be attained. The law was never made for us to keep it. The law was made for us to see that we are miserable, that we are wretched, that we are sinners, that we have failed God, that we have trespassed against God, that we are condemned and guilty to die, and that we need a Savior to save us. So what then did God do in order to fix that dilemma? Romans 8:3 goes on to say, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh or the sinful nature, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin or the sin nature in the flesh. And Romans 8:4 goes on to say that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh or the sin nature, but after the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we see that the only way that we could attain unto the righteousness that is by law was through Jesus Christ, the only one who could keep and fulfill the law. And we see that Jesus condemned the sin nature by his sacrificial death on the cross. And when we placed our faith in Jesus, the sin nature that once ruled and reigned in us to bring forth fruit unto death is dead. Jesus condemned it in the flesh when he died on that cross. And that sin nature now lies dormant within us. It has been inactivated. It's now rendered inoperative. If the sin nature lies dormant within us, let me ask you a question. Is it possible to activate it into operation, and by what means? Remember that when we placed our faith in Jesus and the cross for righteousness, the sin nature was disabled. Jesus disabled it, condemned it in his flesh on the cross. Can it be that if we go back to law keeping or rely on any other method other than Jesus and the cross, that the sin nature would revive? I got to ask that question. Because if it is true, that's the reason why we have problems. And we have bondages in our life. And we continually fail and fall short of what God expects of us. I believe so. I believe that is true. That's why the Holy Spirit says in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh or the sin nature." The key to keep it dormant is to always place your faith in Christ and always to be led by the Holy Spirit. That is the key and the victory that we have. And that is the reason for our abundant life in Christ Jesus. I like what the NLT says. It says it's this way, Galatians 5:16 and 17. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." Galatians 5 also gives us the works of the flesh, the sin nature, and the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's nature in us. This is one of the telltale signs that your faith is not centered on Jesus and the cross, and you have reverted into some fashion or form of law-keeping or self-effort. It's very subtle. You won't notice it. But all of a sudden, You're experiencing righteousness by faith in Christ. You feel like a newborn creation. You're experiencing a holy life through the sanctification process of keeping your faith completely in Christ and the cross. You have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're experiencing God's presence in your prayer life, His power in worship. And the next thing you know, someone comes along. And says that you also have to do this. You also have to do that. You also have to do this. And you also have to do that. And the next thing you know, the water is all muddied. Muddy water. Stagnant water. It happens very subtle, but the next thing you notice, there is hardly any fruit. Hardly any fruit of the Spirit. And the works of the flesh or the sin nature becomes more pronounced than the Spirit's nature inside of you. The very life that you experience now is zapped. The joy is gone. The love is gone.
peace is gone. And now you're agitated. Now you've lost your patience. Now you're bickering. And the list goes on. If this happens to you, don't lose hope. Our hope must be continually and constantly in the finished work of the cross. It's only in that that we will experience the victory of the abundant life that Christ has given us by faith through grace. If this happens, turn back to Jesus. Once you place your faith in the cross, the sin nature again becomes dormant. It becomes inoperative. Turn back to him and the cross, and make him and the cross the object of your faith. Nothing else. Stay planted and stay rooted in what he did for you at Calvary. And that alone, nothing else. And then, suddenly, you will begin to witness. And you will begin to know. And you will begin to feel the Holy Spirit breathing life back into you again. See. Because the Holy Spirit, I want you to catch this. The Holy Spirit will only work within the framework of the cross and give you the victory that you need. Everything that we need comes through Jesus and the cross. If you lose your way, if bondages come back into your life, turn back to Jesus. Place the make Jesus and the cross the object of your faith. And you'll experience the freedom again, the joy, the peace, the love. Amen. But if you don't do this, then the Bible says Jesus can't help you. The Holy Spirit can help you. You're all alone, stuck up a creek without a paddle. And this is the scripture reference for that. In Galatians 5:4, it says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. This is a chilling statement and refers to anyone who makes anything other than Christ and the cross the object of their faith. The Holy Spirit only works within the framework of the cross. Romans 8:2 says, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit only works where Jesus is at. And that's why if you say that you're walking in the Spirit and that you're living in the Spirit, is because the Holy Spirit is placing all of your affection and all of your desire on Jesus. Because Jesus says, when he comes, he will not speak of himself. He will glorify me, because that's the only way to victory, Jesus and the cross. And in closing, I want to say in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which is law, or self-effort, or rules, regulations, or plans. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed it.